of Health with Kerry Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here's Kerry Nosler.
Yes, indeed, Kerry Nosler here with you for the second hour of the Wide World of Health. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got a great interview lined up for this hour. We'll be talking about cancer, preventing cancer, helping people who may already have cancer, who are undergoing traditional treatment and would like to get some support from the body nutritionally, or get nutritional support for the body while they're undergoing this kind of treatment, and generally keep themselves from falling prey to what often happens to people who are undergoing chemotherapy and or radiation, so that they become unable to eat or were already nutritionally deficient to begin with, and they become even more so as the treatment goes on. So knowing how to take care of these kinds of situations, either to prevent or to help it if it is a situation, is what we're going to be talking about today with our special guest, Dr. Vijaya Nair. The book is called Prevent Cancer, Strokes, Heart Attacks, and Other Deadly Killers. Dr. Nair is a researcher, epidemiologist, happens to be a native of Singapore, earned her medical degree from the National University of Singapore, and then came to the United States, where she received a master's degree in epidemiology from Columbia University, also completed a postdoctoral fellowship at the Harvard Medical School. Went on to serve as a professor of epidemiology at Columbia University School of Public Health. Numerous research publications have been authored by her, and also articles about her desire to educate the public about the health benefits of very powerful anti-inflammatory remedies. And you'll get a very, very detailed explanation of why something that takes care of inflammation is really a critical area that we have to look at when these kinds of problems like cancer are being addressed. Currently serves as president and CEO of Essence of Life. This is a New York-based manufacturer of the Jiva Essence of Life products, and we will give you information about website and all kinds of other additional research information toward the end of the program, because I think you're going to be quite fascinated with the connection here in terms of nutrition and the prevention of very serious problems like cancer. So, again, Dr. Vijaya Nair, our special guest. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Kerry, for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I enjoyed meeting you about a month ago at the Expo West, as I related to the audience when we started the show about an hour or so ago, and was fascinated with the kind of work that you've done. You say that you were born in Singapore. You're obviously not Chinese. Give us an idea of how your family came to reside in Singapore.
Well, that's interesting. My parents actually were from Kerala. That's the south western part of the India. And they moved to Singapore in the 1960s, actually late 50s, and got married there eventually and settled. So I've been a Singaporean, one of the minority races, you would call it. Singapore is an island, Southeast Asia, and we have 78% of the population as Chinese ethnic origin, and about 4% of Indian ethnic origin. So Kerala, as you know, it's a land where Ayurveda and a lot of the Indian traditional medicine practitioners and the art of medicine evolved more than 5,000 years ago. And in Singapore, you have not just a very high-grade, high-level of Western-based technology in terms of medicine and the other sciences, but you also have traditional Chinese medicine, like traditional Chinese medicines and acupuncture and homeopathy and Indian Ayurvedic treatments present side by side. So I grew up in that culture.
You were able, and obviously, to get a great cross-sectional viewpoint of both traditional and what we would consider alternative or those kinds of things that are now part of what's called integrative medicine.
That's exactly correct.
And part of what you observed was what has become somewhat of a cornerstone in terms of your own particular research and using a product to help people with problems has been soy. Now, that's a very, very interesting category of food classification. It's obviously used to a great extent in Asia, but you found a particular way of using soy that has been proven to be even more effective.
That's correct. We in Asia actually use fermented soy, Kerry. And fermented soy, for centuries, the Chinese have found has got very high medicinal properties. It's considered a class of medicinal foods. And anyone going in the East, in China, in Japan, in Korea, Taiwan, and especially also in Singapore, they're very familiar with the high level of respect and health-promoting benefits given to fermented soy. Unfortunately, what I find here in the Western-based diets and traditions, they're using more the genetically modified soy and non-organic soy and super-processed and totally unfermented states that most people are eating. And this, in fact, is not very good.
Now, that became a cornerstone, again, of kind of how you have been approaching this whole area of treatment for things specifically like cancer. And so kind of give us an idea of how those two areas kind of intersected for you in terms of the kind of treatment you were looking to help people who have these kind of problems.
Well, in the in early 2000, I was at the Department of Epidemiology at Columbia University, where I was lecturing and conducting studies, and it came to my attention that there was fermented soy products that were used by people, individuals who had diagnosis of different kinds of cancers, and I decided to study it a little bit in depth because of my experience living in Singapore. So I submitted case reports to the National Cancer Institute, the Office of Cancer and Complementary and Alternative Medicine in Bethesda, Washington. And we had received a number of reports of individuals taking the fermented soy products. I won a statement of understanding from the National Cancer Institute, the Office of Cancer and Complementary Medicine, that we could go on to further clinical trials. And in effect, the research was showing, and at that time I was going for conferences and presenting at conferences, that I found that individuals who consumed fermented soy products during their chemotherapy or during the course of treatment for their cancers did much better. But we also found that there were people, depending on everyone's has a genetic expression. So it depends on your genetic expression, how well you utilize the metabolites of these fermented soy products, how you utilize them in your body in the fight against cancer. So there was exciting research that was coming out in the use of fermented soy, and I was very intrigued by that. And so that pursued the interest further and found that, you know, fermented soy product can be used as a food, as a complete food, in chronic illnesses like HIV, AIDS, and chronic Lyme disease as well.
Well, let's go back to that whole genetic thing. So does that mean that given obviously the same remedy that some people obviously are going to respond to it better than others?
That's exactly correct. We did a studies in a laboratory outside of a cancer laboratory outside of Hamburg in Germany, and we pursued this idea further, tested 9 different types of cancers, including gastric carcinoma, rectal, colorectal, prostate, and breast cancer, and lung cancer, and we found that different genetic expressions in different individuals' cancers caused them to have different rates of reaction to how the cancer cells responded to the metabolites in fermented soy. And we found that generally it was more than 85 to 89% response rates of killing cancer cells just by using fermented soy, this particular fermented soy that we were studying.
All right. So, again, besides having the individual genetic differences, do you think that there was any kind of a difference in terms of let's say the way Asians might respond to this as opposed to folks from Caucasians from North America, for example?
You know, I think people are still studying that, although the large scale, this is an interesting question, Carrie. They found that traditionally, when they look at Asians eating a traditional Asian diet in their homeland, in China or Japan or Korea or even Indonesia with tempeh, they found that there were, especially with the Japanese studies, there was a less incidence of breast cancer and prostate cancer, what we call the hormonally different cancers. But when the same population migrated, all right, the Japanese migrated to the States in Hawaii or any part of the U.S., and they followed them for a generation, they found that because of the Western-based diets that they switched to, the incidence of cancers in this, you know, originally ethnic, you know, Eastern Asian groups of population, they rose to the same incidence as their Western, individuals in living in that country. So it was interesting that the epidemiologists postulated that perhaps it has to do more with dietary preferences, that populations that ate more fermented soy and soy products in their diet had a decreased incidence of cancers. And this research is very it's supported by evidence that, you know, traditionally the Asian diet has more tofu or fermented products than a typical Western-based diet, especially in America.
All right. Dr. Vijaya Nair, our special guest. We've got lots more to discuss about her work as a scientist looking at the ways to help people either prevent major degenerative diseases or help to treat them once they do develop. We'll have more information on that when we come back on The Wide World of Health. Carrie Nosler, Talk 650, KSTE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sunrise Natural Foods, Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Carrie Nosler.
Yes, indeed. Carrie Nosler here with you for our second hour of the program today. Dr. Vijaya Nair, our special guest. We're talking about information contained in her book, Prevent Cancer. Doctor, your beginning part of the book, you go into great detail to explain why there is such an interest in controlling inflammation because of its perhaps causative effect in beginning some of these problems and also contributing to their ongoing system. So explain to us again why inflammation is such a central part of the kind of work that you do.
That's such an important question, Carrie, because the researchers now are finding that chronic low-grade inflammation may be the actual cause behind all diseases. And we don't know exactly what causes the immune system to go haywire and what triggers chronic inflammation, but now one of the major suspects in this chronic low-grade inflammation is that chronic low-grade infection. So, for example, when you get a cold or a food poisoning or even yeast infection, your immune system will go into an inflammation overdrive to protect you from the invading germs. But once the threat is conquered, inflammation then usually goes back to normal levels. But what happens when the virus or the bacteria or the fungus doesn't completely go away? And if the small amounts linger in your lungs and in your system for months and even years? So instead of launching a short-lived all-out attack, the body settles for continual low-grade inflammation. In fact, chronic infection and chronic diseases go hand-in-hand. And one study actually found that a shocking 85% of heart attack sufferers had chronic gum disease, which is caused by bacterial infection. And people who've had three or more urinary tract infections in their lifetimes have doubled the risk of developing bladder cancer. And folks who are infected with Helicobacter pylori, the bacterium that causes gastric ulcers, are six times more likely to get stomach cancer than healthy folks. So other suspected causes of chronic low-grade inflammation also include smoking, air pollution, elevated levels of the LDL or the bad low-density or the bad cholesterol, high blood pressure, diets that are high in sugars and bad fats, both the saturated and trans fats, and lack of exercise. Even emotional stress can set off the inflammatory response. And a 4-year study found that people who felt chronically lonely had inflammation levels that were 2 to 3 times as high as people who felt connected to friends and family. And then you have age as another factor. The older we get, the more pro-inflammatory chemicals our bodies will produce.
It's interesting, too, when you look at your book, it's obvious that the body needs to have some way of dealing with inflammation, and one of the factors that you outline as being critical to that whole process is something called NF-kappa B, and it's in essence, I mean, the body, we need that substance in order to survive, but as you point out, along with other substances like cholesterol and even free radicals, it isn't the problem that that substance is there, it's that it's being overused.
That is correct. In fact, the first stage of cancer development is this, you know, when you see a normal cell, they mutate into a precancerous cell. And this can take any time between 5 to 10 to 15 years before, you know, a cell becomes cancerous. And any couple of things, any things can cause a cell to mutate, including chronic inflammation, toxic chemicals, viruses, UV radiation, or even aging. But just because you have a mutated cell, it doesn't mean that you will get cancer. If your body is working according to plan, it will seek out and destroy the mutated cells. Or the mutated cell may sit dormant for years until some trigger, and usually we think it's some inflammatory trigger that caused the mutation in the first place, can cause it to change from a harmless deformed cell into a highly malignant one. And it is this stage that the abnormal cell will start multiplying and causing a tumor. And that's where we see the role of NF-kappa B. And the NF-kappa B, it's triggered, activated, we call it, when, you know, cells mutate, or even when chemotherapy is given for treatments of cancer. And this is paradoxical, because when NF-kappa B is triggered or activated by the immune system, the cancer cells actually protect themselves from being recognized by from the body. So the body has no way of saying that it's a foreign cell and we have to get rid of it. The NF-kappa B activation is a very, very serious matter. And that's why that prompted me to do more research in why some patients were getting better taking fermented soy and other, you know, products like curcumin, which is an extract of turmeric. And why could these natural products decrease or turn off the NF-kappa B, from activating in the first place? And that caused the cancer cells to be recognized by the body, and the healing can start taking place, or chemotherapy can start working in without developing a chemo-resistant or radiation-resistant cancer.
You know, it's kind of fascinating, just a little bit of a sidetrack, I guess, but when you're talking about the fact that certain substances, even if they're not the ones you want, their basic mechanism is survival. So you find even viruses, bacteria, germs, they also find ways to try to avoid or evade the body's own natural system to get rid of them so that they can survive. It's just a matter of, as you say, everything wants to live in that sense, even if we consider it a bad thing.
That's correct. That's correct, because viruses and bacteria and cancers, they mutate. And as you know, once they start mutating, that's how they survive. So they're very intelligent.
Yeah, I was struck with that as well, with things like Lyme disease, where the little spirochete can actually burrow itself into the body in such a way as to kind of hide from different kinds of things that are designed to kill it. So you're trying to outsmart the bad guys in this sense by kind of heightening the body's own intelligence in order to weed out these undesirables.
That's right, and that's where food and diet and your lifestyle play such an important role, because according to the National Cancer Institute, Carrie, two-thirds of cancer, now remember, two-thirds of cancers can be prevented by diet and a healthy lifestyle. And so when we talk about diet, we talk about, you know, as much as possible to eat organic and non-GMO foods, low in trans fats and saturated fats, low in sugars, the white processed sugars. So there's a whole realm that people know what they can eat and what they cannot eat in terms of a healthy diet. And supplement, if necessary, with fermented soy products and curcumin and other spices as needed, you know, to actually lower the chronic inflammation that's going on in your body. You do not want to fester a chronic low-grade inflammation state in your body. Absolutely, you have to address it. And there are many, many ways of doing that.
Well, obviously, we're going to be talking about more of them when we come back. I want to kind of prime you for the question. You've just talked about how important diet is in either preventing or helping someone who has had this kind of situation develop. But I would I would venture to say that the majority of anyone who's ever been treated for cancer would have had very little input from their physician or anyone else working in that area to give them advice about diet. Let's find out why when we come back on The Wide World of Health. Our special guest, Vijaya Nair, again, her book is Prevent Cancer. We'll get her perspective as a MD and a researcher in this area. We come right back. Stay tuned. More coming up on The Wide World of Health.
Wide World of Health with Carrie Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods. Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Carrie Nosler.
Yes, indeed, Carrie Nosler here with you on The Wide World of Health. Appreciate the fact that we're together today and also being able to talk with Dr. Vijaya Nair. And, Doctor, you obviously had some time to think about what I was mentioning before the break, but it is a fact that there seems to be a disconnect between most conventional cancer treatments and the whole area of nutrition. And I think one of the conversations we had when we met was the fact that so many people who do undergo treatment are actually suffering from a nutritional problem, most often a kind of starvation and a malnutrition because of the treatment that they're getting.
Oh, absolutely, Carrie. This is such an important part, and you raised the point that sometimes doctors, I'm sad to say, in my medical training, had very, very little training in what kind of diet that we should recommend. And, you know, we just say generally, oh, a healthy diet, you know, but there's much more direction now in research in the food sciences and the kind of diet and nutrition that's important. And you're right, at least 25 to 50%, and sometimes as high as 80% of hospitalized cancer patients are malnourished. And you know that when you have malnourishment in a patient, in an individual, the risk or the prognosis of getting better is much less. So, and it's not effective. Chemotherapy and even antibiotic treatment is not effective when, you know, a patient is malnourished. So absolutely, diet and nutrition is important.
So you've obviously brought that area to the forefront. And it was interesting as well in reading the book that the soy and perhaps the curcumin and other things that you've identified as being very important nutritionally could actually help the body when it kind of turns off and won't respond to the traditional treatment, that by using some of the products that you mentioned, it's able to get back on track, as it were, to hopefully get the healing effect of whatever they're trying to use to eradicate the cancer.
Well, that's an interesting, exciting find that we're finding that patients and individuals who are taking, let's say, fermented soy products like miso and tempeh and soy, shabu, the fermented soy, noodles, Japanese noodles that are fermented, all those in fermented tofu, and definitely fermented soy drinks and beverages, highly encourage them to take that as part of their diet. And the second part that we're finding is curcumin. That's an active, ingredient extract from turmeric, which is the yellow coloring that you see in curry powder, but which has been used in thousands of years in traditional Chinese medicine and traditional Ayurvedic medicine to promote, you know, energy and healthy immune system functioning, and definitely to help the cancer cells, you know, what we call apoptosis, that is the programmed cell death of cancer cells. So all that science are showing that natural products, food products, and supplements that are having a very sound research base. And centers like MD Anderson Cancer Center, a medical arm of the University of Texas in Houston, Texas, is doing incredible work. So are many other research centers like Columbia and Harvard and many, many research centers in UCLA, for example. Your David Heber and his colleagues at UCLA are doing fantastic work looking at natural products and their fight against, you know, cancers. So absolutely.
Is that why you have combined, for instance, the curcumin with the fermented soy as kind of the basis of the kinds of nutritional products that you offer?
Well, that's an interesting development. You will not find any other product out there that combines fermented soy and curcumin. And this is the story. When I said that I was from Singapore and we eat fermented soy products there, the taste, I can assure you, Carrie, and you might know this already, the taste of fermented soy is really, it's an acquired taste. It's like a brewer's yeast. It's difficult to digest. It's difficult to put in your body, in your get past your taste buds until you're used to it. And the same thing, you can't take, 6 grams of curcumin, which is like, tons and tons of curry powder. How can you eat all that? So it occurred to me that, if we combine some of the most important anti-inflammatory natural products together, we might even actually come up with a better tasting one. And that's how it evolved into research with food scientists and research chemists and nutritionists and doctors and scientists all over the world. I worked with them to come up with products that can have the important ingredients in them, particularly the products to address the chronic low-grade inflammation. And you have to make sure that it's tasty, it's delicious, or if you take it in capsule form, it's going to give you the desired effect in a very short time. And
yeah,
of course, it's combination with all the other things you're doing, and definitely, definitely consult your healthcare practitioner when you do this.
Now, the reason, though, it was kind of interesting as well, besides your traditional medical training, the kind of background you came from, Indian with Ayurvedic traditions and in Singapore with the Chinese traditions, when they use these kind of products, whatever herb they happen to be using or even food-based products, they're always combined with other things. There's actually formulas in terms of how to do this to make sure that they all kind of work synergistically, and you've brought that tradition with you as well.
That is correct, because I found that you can't take one, like with pharmaceutical drugs, more than 70% of prescription drugs actually come from plant-based. But the thing is, if you just extract an active ingredient of the plant, that active ingredient in high doses, more than it was designed in the original plant source, if you put that in the body, tens and tens of thousands of times active dose, sometimes it can do more harm than good. And you can have resulting, side effects like nausea and other complications, toxic complications in some cases. But when you combine it, traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine show that the active ingredient, if it's combined with secondary ingredients, that will mitigate the side effects and complications of the primary active ingredient. So that combination formulation is what I'm looking at to study. And, of course, it's very hard because when we use double-blind, clinical studies, it's easy to study just one active ingredient. Here you're combining, different ingredients together and studying the effect on individual humans. So it throws in, a lot of confounding factors that we have to look at to see whether, the whole is more than the sum of its parts.
Well, in fact, that's kind of a burning question right now when a lot of these studies that have come out that look at individual vitamins, for example, and have found sometimes negative association. And some folks have thought, well, it's just a justification. But there have been folks like yourself who said, look, it's not enough just to study the individual food product. They're not drugs. They're not it's not a, that kind of a chemical in the sense of a drug, and that we have to look at it in a different context. And that's kind of what you're saying as well.
That's correct, that we have to do very intelligent and evidence-based and look at traditional cultures where these herbs and formulas have been used, an intelligent study of the traditional diets. I'm not talking about random kind of taking anything you should eat, but in supplements, you have to be careful. And, I advocate whole, healthy diets wherever possible. And you supplement because you know there's evidence that this is going to help your certain condition or your health, and you speak to your healthcare practitioner, and then you put yourself on supplements.
All right. But there is also a very, very extensive database of good research showing how important the different herbs or vitamins or nutritional aids are. It just seems that when you hear, well, there's not enough evidence, the question is more, well, you're just not aware of it, because as far as we've had with many guests on this program before, there seems to be a lot of research supporting this kind of approach.
Yes. I stress that both traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda rely on multi-herb formulas. In fact, you'll never see a traditional Chinese or Ayurvedic formula that has just one herb. And that's because this millennia-old systems of healing recognize, like I said, two important truths. One, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, meaning that you'll get a greater synergistic effect from the intelligent blend of herbs. And then you get just with one herb or one, you know, pharmaceutical drug. And number two, the single substances usually have a therapeutic effect and a side effect. Therefore, in each Eastern formula, there's a lead herb that is paired with secondary herbs and that augment its actions and negate its side effects. And so the formulas that I have developed combine the intelligent use and sitting with many, many, many hours with Ayurvedic physicians and traditional Chinese physicians and Western science and scientists who are familiar with this and have a clear understanding on how these formulas can be used effectively.
You've got, obviously, there's so many different things that you could pick that are part of the healing armada. You've covered a few, obviously, and there's certainly limitations in terms of either the research or just how much you can do as a small company. But give us an idea of what kinds of things you have decided are worthy of the kind of research that you've been talking about.
Well, one of the things that I found, like you mentioned earlier, it's a very important point of combining fermented soy with curcumin, because we know both are very powerful anti-inflammatory natural products. They've been used extensively in studies on cancer patients and people with arthritis and joint pain, even just low energy level. You know, they feel stressed, and we find that the combinations work much better in elevating the energy levels and increasing the immune system functioning. And then there is we've used resveratrol, which is very great for heart health, and the studies are showing that, particularly in animal models, we're coming into clinical trials, and that's being studied right now. It helps with heart health. But we combine it with quercetin and gurgle and garlic extract. And although resveratrol has a remarkable ability to block the age-related genetic effects in the heart, and in a sense, you know, trying to keep you young, quercetin is a phytonutrient and that's present in onions, broccoli, and apples and berries that appear to make resveratrol work even better. So there are different ingredients, and I talk a lot about it in the book. I explain it to you how these different combinations work synergistically. So you don't need, you know, a lot of dosages, a high dosages of each active ingredient or supplement. You need to take small amounts, but they work synergistically. Then ingredients like,
Hold that thought. We have one more segment. I want to make sure that we can allow you time to fully explore that. Dr. Vijaya Nair, our special guest. I'm Kerry Nosler. We have another segment coming up. Do not go away. More great work from Dr. Nair and her book, Prevent Cancer. Wide World of Health, Talk 650 KSTE. Kerry Nosler, we'll be right back.
This is the Wide World of Health with Kerry Nosler, brought to you by Sunrise Natural Foods, Talk 650 KSTE. Here again, Kerry Nosler.
Yes, indeed, Kerry Nosler here with you. Vijaya Nair is our special guest this hour of the program. And before I forget and we're out of time, I have to mention to everyone that it is Sema's birthday tomorrow. My dear producer, who makes sure that everything runs right on the show and gets everybody in when they should be and helps me with the music, just like Blinded by the Light, one of my favorite songs that we just played. Nonetheless, it's her birthday, so we just have to wish her a wonderful day and many, many more, I'm sure. Well, and that's why we're all listening to the program, so we can have many, many more healthy days and prevent some of the major problems that unfortunately are kind of so commonplace in the Western world today. And Doctor, we were talking about different kinds of formulas that you put together, but I want to make sure that we also let people know that what you've done is to make sure that they also have this extract of pepper, which has been shown very, very interesting research, and I guess it's one of the reasons why there are pepper in spicy foods and people put it on their other foods, ground pepper and such, because it does help these other nutrients to be absorbed better.
That's exactly right. When we talked about curcumin, Kerry, you can't take too much of curcumin or turmeric without adding a particular form of pepper called pepper longa. It's called bioperine. That's a trademark used. It's a patented, well-researched type of pepper that we are putting in certain of our products to increase absorbability, and it becomes easily absorbable. And the research is finding that once you do a little bit of that, bioperine and pepper longa, the absorption of the other ingredients go a long way.
So, do you think that's one of the reasons why people should use some fresh ground pepper on their food?
Oh, I wouldn't discount that if you can. But some people just can't take it. You know, their stomach is sensitive to it. So, you know, so use sparingly and not too much.
Well, thank God I'm not one of them because I just love spicy foods. I've heard also other kinds of things, just a little digression here, that the spice, besides being warm, that it provides some really important functions in the body, not only in terms of killing, perhaps even killing bacteria and viruses and those kinds of things and making sure that you digest your food properly.
Yes, that is correct. Research on not just curcumin, but also piperine and cardamom and cinnamon, which we're using on our products, you know, show that there's antibacterial and antiviral properties, and in addition to the immune enhancing and immune boosting. So when you use these spices, you also get a natural energy boost, and you don't have to rely on caffeinated products or sodas, you know, to feel high or to get over that 4 o'clock slump, you know, at the end of the day. Use a very nice blend of the spices. Now, just because it's spicy doesn't mean that it's going to be hot or chilly or anything. No, the intelligent use of small amounts of spices in the formulas that we use, you will find a natural energy coming. You'll find that you don't get ill so often. And you find that, you know, your immune system is actually working much better than it has before. So that's the effect of these spices.
I forgot, you mentioned one thing before that was kind of interesting to me. You said the fermented Japanese noodle. What was that?
The shoyu.
Shoyu? That's a soy sauce, I thought.
Well, there's a soy sauce, and I think it's called shabu. My apologies. Shabu is the Japanese noodles that they use.
Okay, well, and fermented foods, it's kind of interesting, even though we're talking about things like soy and such, but fermented foods have obviously been a part of human food technology for as long as there have been humans on the planet, because when we didn't have things like refrigeration, they had to find something that would keep these foods. So whether it was fermented soy in Asia or sauerkraut in Eastern Europe or wine throughout the world, there's fermented foods have always been a part of our diet regimen.
That's exactly correct, and I'm very excited about the research that we are showing in fermented foods because, you know, there is a lot of, in this subject, that over the cultures, like in Nigeria, they use the cassava and the different kinds of fermented foods that have been used, not just, we're finding these traditional diets that have been used for centuries actually promote a good bacterial flora, and if you recall, Carrie, 80% of our immunity actually resides in the gut, so any kind of probiotics or prebiotics that we are taking, and especially because the fermented foods are rich in probiotics, help to settle the gut flora, balance the gut flora, which is a sad thing because people, especially unfortunately in the medical field, we are not paying attention that when we give somebody a chronic long-term use of antibiotics, we are destroying the good gut flora. So we need to supplement it with vitamin B12 or vitamin B complex. And we use statin drugs, for example. You are, you know, depleting the body store of CoQ10, coenzyme 10. So, you know, there needs to be supplements, intelligent supplements with nutrients that can benefit your whole body, especially your gut.
Now, your supplement line is called Jiva?
It's most of the research that I'm talking about on this show can be found on the website jivasupplements.org, and the line of products are called Jiva, J-I-V-A, and they're available in most of the retail health stores and you know, on the internet, and you know, we're trying to publicize the importance of taking fermented foods and spices in our daily diet.
So you said again, Jiva Supplements, is it .com or .org?
.org. JivaSupplements.org.
So that's J-I-V-A.
That's correct. Yes.
JivaSupplements.org. And that will get you the information on the supplements, and you can find out, I guess, if you go to the site where your products are available, as well as being, if folks don't want to mail away for them, where they're available in what stores?
Yes. I think it should be available in most retail health stores. You just have to go in and ask them, and they can bring it in within a matter of days.
And I'm just wondering, too, how much of a fermented soy would you take a day to get the benefit?
Well, in with each scoop of the fermented soy, the Jiva fermented soy beverage, Carrie, it's only 10 grams of fermented soy in there. And research is showing that the typical or average intake the Asian eats, for fermented soy, it's about 10 grams a day. So you don't need, and although, you know, we think that, you know, you need 25 grams a day of soy for the cholesterol-lowering property, but the traditional Asian diet uses small amounts of soy with rice and vegetables and fish and lean meat. So all you right. want to eat small amounts.
All right. So it's jivasupplements.org. And quickly, how about a phone number?
The phone number to contact us and to ask any questions is 1-800-517-7606.
All right. 1-800-517-7606. All right. Well, Doctor, thank you so much for sharing with us today. I appreciate the information and the work that you're doing. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again.
Thank you so much, Kerry, and thank you very much for having me on the show. And happy birthday to your producer tomorrow.
Thank you. I'm sure she appreciates that as well. Dr. Vijaya Nair, that's it for this hour of The Wide World of Health. Thank you so much for joining us today. Next week from 12 to 2, more great information for you. Make sure that you come back and talk to us or listen to us again. And if you want to hear it, go on to the website and you can hear this show recorded and send it out to people who may need that information as well. Have a great week. I'm Kerry Nosler. We'll see you then.